Our Old Testament reading for this, the fourth Sunday in Advent, is from the fifth chapter of Micah. But you, O Bethlehem Ephrathah, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose origin is from of old, from ancient days. Therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel, and he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall dwell secure. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading is from the 10th chapter of Hebrews. When Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body have you prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure." Then I said, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." When he said above, "You have neither desired nor taken pleasure in sacrifices and offerings and burnt offerings and sin offerings. These are offered according to the law." Then he added, "Behold, I have come to do your will." He abolishes the first in order to establish the second. And by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months, and return to her home. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Virgin Mary was living in a world that wanted her to believe it was powerful. She was living in a world that wanted her to believe it was great. Mary was living in a world that wanted her to think it was mighty. The world around Mary did look powerful and great and mighty. Mary's country, Israel, was occupied by the Roman army, the largest army the world had ever seen up to that point. And the Romans were very powerful. They could invade any nation and take whatever they wanted. Mary's governor in Judea was King Herod, also known as Herod the Great. And Herod wore great robes and threw great parties and did great and terrible things. so that everyone around him would see him as a mighty man. We still live in a world that wants you to believe it is powerful. We still live in a world that wants you to believe it is great. We still live in a world that wants you to believe it is mighty. We live in a world with many people who want you to think that they are powerful and great and mighty. Sure, we could point to politicians who want you to think they are powerful, or celebrities who want you to think they are great, or even armies and countries that want you to think they are mighty. But the greatest temptation is not to see greatness that's out there somewhere. The greatest temptation is to begin to see ourselves as powerful, and ourselves as great, and ourselves as something mighty. That's the biggest danger in all of creation. If I were to ask how many of you feel you are powerful, probably all of you would say, "No, I'm not powerful." But we sure do act that way sometimes. How many times during your days do you do whatever you want without thinking of your family, or your friends, or your neighbors, or even God? Because you have somewhere to go, and you have something that you want to do. Most of us would not say we are great, but we rarely deny anything our hearts or souls want. We don't need to live in a palace to treat ourselves greatly. And few of you would say you are mighty. But the world we live in literally teaches you that your desires are more important than anything else. You want to do something? Just do it. You want to gratify an urge? Well, who should stop you? You're basically almighty. The world that we Christians live in is not neutral. This is why Jesus said in the Gospel of John that even though we will stay in this world, we are not to be of this world. Each of you are not called to follow the power of this world, or the greatness of this world, or the might of this world, or to even follow your own desires. You, as a Christian, you've been called to follow Christ. We're hardly the first people to be confronted with a world that wants to be regarded as powerful and great and mighty. And we are hardly the first people to wrestle with that inside ourselves. Look at what the Virgin Mary was going through. She lived in a world in which the country of Rome was powerful. Rome's accomplishments were great, and the Roman army was mighty. But within all that greatness, within Rome, a sickness was already starting in the days of Mary, in which the Caesars and soon Rome's emperors would stop saying that they were just powerful, great, and mighty men. Soon they would drop the facade altogether and just declare themselves to be gods. After all, they thought they were powerful, great, and mighty. And what on earth is more powerful, great, and mighty than a god? So they declared themselves to be gods. This is the world in which Mary lived. What she faced was not so different from what we face on a daily basis. But was Mary mesmerized by the power of the Roman army? Not at all. She said today in our gospel reading, "God has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thought of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate." Was Mary swayed by this world's greatness? Of course not. In her own words, she said, "My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, not in the God of the Caesars or the emperors." And was Mary even for once captivated by the might of the world around her? Not at all. In her words, she said, "For he, God, who is mighty, has done great things for me." This wasn't just lip service for Mary. She lived it. What was Mary in and of herself? Was she powerful? No, not at all. She was probably only around 14 years old when she became pregnant with the Christ child. She's described as a young maiden. Was Mary great in her ability to change the world around her? Well, not by herself. This is why that she said, "The mighty one, God, has done great things for me." Mary understood in and of herself she was not great. But her God is great, and her God was already doing a great thing inside of her womb. Something that this world had never seen done before. Did Mary have powerful armies at her command like the mighty Romans? Of course not. Her might was simply an unmovable, unshakable faith in her mighty God. As we end this Advent season and begin to enter the season of Christmas, may we always remain sober-minded about this world and about ourselves. This world we live in wants you to believe it is powerful and great and mighty, and you will be tempted to think of yourself that way as well. But there is only one who is truly powerful and great and mighty, and he was about to come into this world in our flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord. You can be powerful in this world, but the world doesn't make you powerful. And you can be great in this world, but not by the greatness of this world. And you can be mighty, but not by the might of this world. Listen to the Virgin Mary, who herself said, "For he who is mighty has done great things for me." God doesn't need to outdo this world in power. He is all powerful. And chooses to show his power in humble ways. Like when he comes to us as bread and wine in the Lord's Supper with his physical body and physical blood. God doesn't need to try and outdo this world's attempt at being great. God is not insecure about his greatness. And he chooses to show his greatness in quiet ways, as he continually speaks to you every day through his word. And God has no need to try and outmight the might of this little world. He shows his mightiness in meekness by coming in the flesh as a newborn. John's gospel says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." There is no greater power you will ever see in your life than in the power of God to take on human flesh. There is no greater greatness you will ever see than the greatness of God who was willing to take on our sins, our shame, our embarrassments, and to die on a cross for those sins, those shames, and those embarrassments, even though he never sinned himself. Now that is greatness. And surely there is no more might this world can see than the destruction of death. The mighty armies of this world only bring death. They don't bring life. They don't bring resurrection. They have no power to make alive. But God shows you his great might in the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, which has now become your guarantee, pledge, and promise of a resurrection from the dead. As Advent ends and Christmas begins, may we all have the same mind and attitude as the Virgin Mary and believe with all our hearts the words she spoke. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. God is doing great things for you, and he always will. Amen. And now may the peace of our God, which surpasses our understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.